8, 9, and 10. In Baffin Island, there are more than 300 Eskimo people living during the summer months, and a resident white population of less than 20. Amongst these is the Reverend Michael Gardner, who is one of the busier men in town. He has recently been appointed here as the first resident Anglican missionary. And I believe you have quite a large parish full of parishioners, Mike, is that right?
Yes, we have got quite a lot indeed. And it's very nice to see them so very often and to know how very keen they are. And they have given me a very enthusiastic welcome here. I feel very happy to be here and hope to stay for quite some time.
Yes, Mike, Mr. Gardner, I remember you saying when I first met you that you felt that 1 or 2 years or even 5 years was no time to give to helping people in the Arctic. You felt that rather 20 years or a lifetime was to be given to them. Is this your intention?
If everything goes well, and if it's possible, I hope to be here for many years indeed, but one can't say at such a stage as this. It depends very much upon one's health. If one is able to carry on visiting all the people sufficiently in winter, because running around with a dog team is a little tiring on the body at times.
I'm sure it is. Mr. Gardner, where were you before you came here?
I was at Lake Harbour, about 350 miles away from here to the east, and I was there for 5 years. This was the first time I've ever seen an Eskimo, but I enjoyed my stay there. But unfortunately, the people there moved away to a busier centre, Frobisher Bay, about 80 miles to the north of there, and it meant that all my parishioners more or less walked out on me. I hope it's for no personal reasons. And so it left me with the only option of coming here, where there's been no missionary for so many years. And so it's a great privilege to be here as the first one.
Mr. Gardner, I see you have a church already, and you say there wasn't a resident missionary before.
There was no resident missionary before, as they always used to be at Lake Harbour, although there were always quite a few people here, or 300 or even more in the bygone days, I'm told. So I was able to come here, and that was very easy.
Yes, well, how was it that they had a church and no minister?
The main reason why they had a church was because the Eskimos themselves wanted one. They first wanted to build the church completely of their own accord, and even buying most of the materials themselves by giving fox skins for it. And when they got together, under the leadership of a catechist who's not here now, called Putuku, they got it built, and then they said that here's the church, where's the minister? And that was now over 10 years ago, so it's going to be they've had quite a wait for one.
They certainly have. And did they build it without any influence from without?
The materials were sent in here. They gave word to the bishop of the diocese, who was then Bishop Fleming, that they would like to build a church, and they would help considerably with the money for it. So the materials were sent in, and they were just more or less brought in on the boat and put on the shore in barges, and all the Eskimos themselves carted them up, and work was done in them in 1 year. They had quite some trouble with getting the church built. It meant that a lot of people had to be brought in to help them, and when they were building the roof, they made a little mistake over that, I'm afraid, and a great gale blew all the roof down, and so there was no church, and they had to start all over again. But anyhow, they got it finished in the 1 year.
Well, that is rather wonderful, because I suppose they hadn't built a wooden structure before. They had snow houses and tents as previous building experience, so it really is quite a stout effort with all that wood that could have been used for their own little homes.
Yes, because their own little homes don't take very much wood. They're only just a small a structure, a framework which is covered over with canvas and insulated with various material, various plants that grow around here, then covered over with snow blocks. They could have used that wood and it would have been enough for them all, for the whole community at Cape Dorset, but instead they wanted their church first.
Well, they got it. They must enjoy their religion, or either the word was certainly well planted when it was brought here.
Yes, we don't just have to thank the present missionaries in any one place for their enthusiasm and keenness. We have to thank the Reverend Peck and the Right Reverend Fleming and the earlier pioneer missionaries who gave their lives towards the Eskimos and devoted many years in very much more isolated places than they are today. And they did it very willingly and freely. And it's only a result of that have the Eskimos so been enthused with this their new faith that they've made sure that it's carrying on over today. A lot of the earlier word about this new religion came from Eskimos themselves, so that even before there was a resident missionary here at Cape Dorset, they'd already been well enthused.
Mm. What difference has Christianity made to the people?
Oh, I think quite a lot of differences. I think the main thing is that before they were people of fear, living in fear of the spirits and of the unseen, and as a result, to stop this, they had the religion of love and the gospel of his kingdom preached to them, and they became one of less fear and one of faith. And also they have their own prayer books and Bibles, and they can read it themselves. And incidentally, they were taught to read in their own syllabics by the first missionaries who were here. And it has made them the most literate people, I should say, in the whole world, because all of them can read the prayer book and Bible in their own language, and every single household has one. And they aren't just given these, they buy these, and they treasure them very much. And I think that's quite a lot. And also other things could be mentioned, such as looking after them and making them more aware of cleanliness and hygiene and health. We haven't just been interested in other things, we've also been interested in their own hygiene and health, and quite a lot has been done in this connection.
So you're not limited to things with the spirit only.
Yes, that's that. I must say that is quite true.
Yes, it's rather delightful to see them going to church with their little bags. They make special bags to carry their prayer books and Bibles in, don't they?
Yes,
and each one is very neat and clean and rather embroidered on the way to church on a Sunday. Now,
thank you.
Now, Mr. Gardner, I believe that your church didn't have an organ until very recently. It was delivered the other Saturday evening. Can you tell us why it didn't have an organ?
Well, it's quite there's quite a story attached to that. In the first place, it didn't have an organ because there just wasn't any available, and the church is fairly recent when you come to think of it, and so they haven't had a chance to get one, but there is one now. They're very happy to have it, although there is a story attached to it, how it got there. It really started about a month ago when some Eskimos went in their small 24-foot canoe, and there was a white whale or two in the bay, and happened to be a very rough sea running about sometime in the afternoon. And these four Eskimos got into the canoe and went after this white whale. As soon as they got out of the shelter of the immediate area around Cape Dorset, they got into real rough seas, and they were soon in difficulties, and in no time the water had come into the canoe and she started to sink, and she did sink. And the two of them clung onto the canoe, and they were very luckily not swept away. But two of the other Eskimos were flung into the sea and not able to hold onto the canoe, and they were starting to go right down and under. But by some wonderful chance, which since we would say is a miracle, three men were in another canoe wanting to go to the other side of the bay to get dog food. And they didn't also realize it was quite so rough. yet they happen to be just within shouting distance of this overturned canoe, and they were able to come just as two of those Eskimos were going down for the last time and grab hold of them and get them into their canoe in that rough sea. And one of these Eskimos, by the name of Kanangina, he was able to, got back to land. He was so thankful to be alive when really he was on death's door that he decided that he was going to do something very positive to help the church. And so he decided that as there was no organ there, and the local trader had got one, which he had bought for his wife to learn, and I think she was just starting on learning it, he decided that he and maybe one other Eskimo would go and to that trader and try and buy that organ for the church. So we were very happy when the trader said that he would sell it to those two Eskimos, and they therefore bought it, and everything was put in the church, and we used it for the first time last Sunday, so it made a very happy service, and there's no one happier than those Eskimos who were saved from that boat, which was a real miracle.
Yes, well, I suppose now the congregation, which has stuck to its faith for about 50 years, now has a church and an organ, and you, their minister, at last. Yes. So I hope that they get an organist to go with it.
Yes, so do I, and even if I have to train them, and I'm not very musical myself.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Mr. Gardner, what do you find is specifically different between ministering to people up here and ministering to people outside?
First of all, I can't answer too well for the difference from outside, as I have not been down the south and not as a minister. I came up here to Lake Harbour for the first time, and for 5 years stayed there and came over here until now. So I can't give too definite answer the difference as far as down south goes, yet I'd say that the life up here a minister is, I'm sure, much more varied than the life of a minister could be down south. By that I mean that one can do things which one would never dream of doing down south, and things that are up here almost part of the job in getting to know your people and to win their confidence, which is half the battle. And to help do that, you do such things as go seal hunting, or you'll be invited to caribou or seal feasts, whether it's raw, cooked or boiled or fried, and you can be asked about to write letters for them and what letters say that come to them, and no end of other things that are all really part of one's work, especially in winning their confidence in you.
Which, of course, is vitally important, isn't it, so far here?
Yes, it is, because they are inclined to rather mistrust a white man. He's very new, really, in their country, although rather the white man often thinks that it's his. In another way, it's very much the Eskimo's country, and if a white man's not very careful and to adopt some of the Eskimo's better habits, such as some of his clothing in midwinter, he'd be really in distress.